Welcome to One Inch Past Scary Podcast. This is Kirsty Sayer. How are you? It has been a while, a good long while. And I was actually recently, in fact, let's see where we're at. We're on January 16th, 2022. So yeah, it's been a solid several months. And it doesn't even seem necessary to explain oneself anymore. We're all just, you know, doing our best. However inadequate that might seem, we are all, if we're here, we're doing fine. I was just recently thinking about the name of this podcast and if it still was applicable to kind of what I saw myself doing here. And long-term, the picture I had in my mind of what I would do with this podcast in the future, which, by the way, is still, just like every single thing else in the future, very hazy. So I just decided to hop on here and say hi today. Back to 20 seconds ago when I was talking about the name of the podcast and whether it felt relevant anymore, whether it felt like it worked. And I at first was like, But now I'm like, honestly, yeah, it's basically, you know, a good way of describing getting up every day and moving through life, because we are more aware than we ever have before that we have very, very, very limited control over anything, if any control. It's more of an illusion than anything else. And that, to human beings, is inherently scary. We love the sense of control. We spend our entire lives trying to establish a sense of control. And we work very hard at building up that illusion of safety and that, you know, if I do A, then B will occur and C will eventually happen and it will all be tied up nicely with a bow at the end point of D. And honestly, I think more than anything, the last couple of years have shown us that that is not true, that we are at the mercy of many factors, that we do not personally have much control over, that we only have control over how we respond to things. We don't have control over how our bodies respond to things. We don't have control over how our community responds to things, how our leaders respond to things, how our family members respond to things. We have control of our own choices. And honestly, those are, you know, largely dictated by maybe two or three unappealing options a lot of the time. I was saying to somebody that I saw a meme that was so affirming to so many people, maybe not even being a meme, I think it was actually a quote from a pediatrician. And it was like, please, you know, if you are a parent of a young school-aged child who maybe is not even eligible yet for vaccinations, and at this point you're wondering what to do, please know that there is no good choice. No good choice is available to you. So please don't beat yourself up with whatever you decide that is slightly less awful for your family. Knowing that there are no good choices is something that is fairly liberating. And maybe, and it resonated with so many people. People found a profound sense of comfort and relief in that. And it wasn't like, oh, this is the best thing I've ever seen. Obviously, nobody, you know, a couple of years ago would have been like, oh, thank God, you know, I have always wanted to see something that assured me that at this point in my life, there aren't any good choices. A couple of years ago, we would have looked at that pretty squinty-eyed, like, this doesn't look good. This is not promising. This is not encouraging. But now we're like clinging to that truth like monkeys because we are recognizing that we don't have a lot of control over the situation and we need to give up the illusion of control if we are to survive it instead of beating ourselves up while the entire world and the circumstances of the world is also beating us up. So it's interesting to me how we have kind of shifted. Most of us, well, many of us anyway, have shifted our perspectives to embrace this idea of, you know what, I'm just doing my damn best and there are not any good choices and really embrace that rather than fear that. I think that that's actually probably a good thing. Ultimately, that's a good lesson to come out of all of this, that you could look at it as every choice is as good as the other. Maybe that's a more positive way. And obviously, this does not apply to everything. You know, whether to drink a green smoothie when you get up before you go on a workout or chug like a martini before you go and work out is obviously a very clear good and not as good choice. Your performance is going to be impacted in different ways. But in terms of trying to survive a pandemic and do right by your children, honestly, I wish we'd had this, you know, this understanding from the jump. I think I would be a lot more sane today if I had recognized that, girl, there are no good choices available to you. Either way, you're going to drop the ball. The children are going to suffer one way or another. So, you know, make the choice that feels true to you and then do not beat yourself up about it. Do not second guess yourself about it. And so that is why I do think that, you know, for now, I'm going to keep the name One Inch Pie Scary, because getting up and going into our world where we have to accept that we have very limited control over what happens to ourselves and our loved ones, is scary. And every time you do that, you are engaging in a really brave act if you accept that. If you accept that with eyes wide open and you go forth anyway and you try to do your best and you try to focus on what's good and how you can amplify that. And if you can't do that, you just do whatever you got to do to stay alive. You just realize that I cannot do one thing other than stare at a wall today if I'm going to stay alive. If I try to get out of this bed, I'm going to go completely over the edge and I don't know what's going to happen next. So what I'm going to do today is stare at a wall, or I'm going to scroll TikTok for 16 hours straight, or whatever it is that I'm going to do. You know, I think that we have also, over the last couple of years, started to understand that doing your best can look extremely different in different circumstances. And I'm hoping that as a society, we are actually shifting into a much kinder, gentler, and more sustainable sort of model of seeing of what we expect of ourselves, and of just accepting that our presence as human beings on this planet is valid, regardless of our output, regardless of our attitude, regardless of anything. You know, we don't, you know, a lot of philosophers and psychologists have pointed to nature in this way. We don't look at a cloud and get all critical and say, you know, if it could just, you know, be a slightly more pink or slightly to the right, this cloud would be of value. We just let the cloud be. We let the tree be. Well, you know, in the forest, you know, a lot of times we don't let the trees be. But I think you see my point here, that we have somehow in the whole mess of capitalism started to conflate human lives and the marvelous magic that is a human that we celebrate and we are in awe of when it comes out as this precious, completely non-contributing baby, right? We cherish and adore these blobs that do nothing but take. They are essentially parasites. They just take, and after a couple of months, they start actually like smiling and stuff and contributing to the common good in that way. But we love and accept a baby just as they are, even though they are non-contributing largely. You know, they don't, you know, they do not contribute to financially. They don't pull their weight around the house. They just contribute poop and a lot of sleep deprivation and you know, stuff like that, mess, and they are expensive and all these things. And we don't look at a baby, if we're in any way mentally healthy, and go, seriously, like, what the hell are you even doing here? Like, why are you even, like, what? You just freaking lie there. You cry, you poop, you just demand, you cry some more, you poop, then you drink, and then you spit up what you just drank. it's just a mess, and then you just like wake everybody up all night. We don't like, we just accept that's what a baby is. It's a creature that has graced us with their presence. It's a human, it's a spirit. We are delighted. And somehow we lose this concept of ourselves, that as we grow, our preciousness is diminished in accordance to our output, or diminished or grows in, you know, in our own minds, and sadly in the minds of many others, in what we can contribute. And that's a tragedy. And I think perhaps that for some of us, the pandemic is forcing us to see that it's enough just to stay alive, because we've burned out. We're just burned out. So many of us got to the point where it's all we can do just to stay alive. Some days, some weeks, maybe for months. And sometimes that's emotional and sometimes that's physical. A lot of people have gotten really sick. There are people, you know, I have friends with long COVID who just feel like a shadow of their former selves. They feel like all that they can do is sleep. They can barely sit or stand up. And it's excruciating for them because they're like, I'm losing, you know, my one wild and precious life to this disease, and I want to get up and live. And what am I if I'm not contributing and I'm not experiencing? Then what am I? And, you know, it's like when we start to look at the perspective of you are still a spirit that is precious, just as precious as you were when you were a baby, just lying in bed and not contributing and not experiencing very much. I honestly think this is the only way that we can survive that. And sometimes it's not physical. Many of us have experienced that sense of complete, like, complete lack of, you know, the ability to contribute in any way, because we're so mentally, you know, our mental health has taken such a knock that we are just numb or disassociated or in a state of freeze. I spent several months at the beginning of pandemic literally just sitting on one spot of my couch watching the front door. I'm not ashamed to even tell you about this unhinged behavior, because it is what it is, bro. I've since realized what it's attached to, but I would literally sit for several weeks, if not more, and just stare at the front door, and basically just, like my kids said, you like just post it up at the front door on the couch, and like monitored the in and outs of my whole family to make sure that they were washing their hands. This was before we knew that you couldn't get it from your groceries and stuff. They were washing their hands. They were, you know, blah, 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 blah. I was like a literal crazy person just posting up. Like I went primal. I was like this, you know, mama bear in front of the cave where her cubs were. And it was berserk. And it is only now 2 years later that I have realized why the lack of control and the fear of my family getting sick and going, you know, to have to be isolated alone in the hospital, why it's such an enormous fear and trigger for me, is because I spent a couple of different occasions in my adolescence in a hospital alone and under very scary and bad circumstances. And, you know, when I wasn't well cared for and I couldn't speak for myself, and it, you know, and I didn't ever make that connection. And a lot of us sort of have medical trauma associated with things that, you know, that have caused us to be super unhinged about this. And then there's others of us who have just kind of seemingly sailed through that part of it, but taken on enormous burdens at work and have, you know, taken on tons of extra sort of weight from, you know, helping to fill in the gaps where people were sick or people quit or people even died. And it's just like, there is nobody I know that isn't just sort of plodding along and hasn't expressed to me at some point, I'm just doing whatever it is that I can to stay alive. And, you know, on its face, that does look so sad and it looks so bad. But I'm wondering, and that's only in this moment of like feeling okay, I, you know, in 10 minutes just talk to me again, but I'm wondering if we all get through this, and you know, the world actually like sort of does not keep deteriorating, because I think we're all sort of wondering at this point which way, you know, which way the pendulum is going to swing. But I just do think that this has been such a valuable moment, but that we've all kind of been humbled and taken down to the studs and realizing that sometimes the only thing we can do is our version of staying alive. And some people that looks way more functional than for other people, but it feels the same. That sense of vulnerability, that sense of dragging, that sense of heaviness feels the same to different people. It doesn't look the same from the outside, but it may, you know, I think it may well feel the same, more so than we realize for most of us. And I'm hoping that we can take from this a sense of it's enough just to do that. You know, I don't look at my friends who have languished, struggling from long COVID for like the last, you know, 18 plus months or a year or so, and go like, holy crap, can you just get it together and like get up and go for a run and stuff? Like, this would never occur to me. I'm just so delighted that they're still with us. I'm rooting so hard for them to feel better. I feel nothing but compassion for their suffering. I'm so grateful for the insights and the kindness that they still manage to like share with the world. I'm inspired and awed by that generosity and the fact that they can dig deep to find that strength to still be kind, to still be a friend. So it's just like we are shifting perspectives. I'm very much hoping. And if you haven't yet shifted your perspective to it's enough to just be here, just like it was when you were a newborn baby, then maybe I can offer you the invitation to think of it that way. Over Christmas, I had a really, really terribly tough time. and it honestly just, I got to the point where, you know, sort of like, you know, leading up to Christmas, and it was just really, truly one of the saddest, hardest Christmases of my life and also of my family's life. And I got to the point where I was like, I don't know who I am. I don't know how to be. I just felt completely lost. I wasn't in any way attached to my identity. It was a terribly, terribly scary, unmoored, awful feeling. And I survived that, did nothing but survive it, like did nothing but just hung in there. And the way in which I did it was super unorthodox. The means in which I chose to survive it were super unorthodox. It was super sad. It was super traumatic for everybody, but I did what I needed to do to survive. And, you know, I'll go into that at some other point, maybe when it feels a little less raw for me. But, you know, because of that, because I, you know, sort of like at least was anchored into the concept that I must survive, which is actually huge progress. You know, that was all that was left. Everything else was just washed away. It was just this primal thing, I need to survive, but the rest of my identity was completely washed away because of, you know, just the fact that I just had to hunker down and do that. And it was such a scary, awful, awful, terrible feeling. But then, you know, and I honestly didn't know how I would ever feel like myself again. But the fact is that it just sort of, I think of it as a tsunami or, you know, huge storm. And I'm just like clinging to this tree and things are coming and hitting me and washing away and everything else around me is washing away. And at the end of it, I'm just left with this bare, battered tree and my own battered self and everything around me is gone and left. And that was kind of the image that I had in my mind. That's just how it felt. And I was like, what's left? You know, like my identity, everything is gone. That's how it felt. And, you know, just hanging in there and holding onto the tree for long enough for the storm to subside and then the rain to sort of dry it all up. And this is really kind of very, the sun to come and sort of start drying it all up. This is kind of a tragically cliched visual, but it's all that I can come up with on the fly because none of this was planned. Eventually, you know, things started to come back into place. You know, that which I thought was washed away forever, you know, just got sort of like uncovered, you know, it was only covered by sand. And I was able to rebuild on solid, more solid ground. And the illusions that I'd built many things on were completely washed away. And I was left with truth. And that was scary. It was scary and dismal and terrible. But it meant that I could rebuild on something more solid. And I think that, you know, that as inarticulate as this whole description was, I think that what I'm trying to convey is, if you're feeling at this point like, who the frick am I? And what is this life? And who is this world? And what is this world? And do I have a future? And what? I just want you to know that I've been there. I've been there recently. It was different from the other traumas I've experienced. You know, I've been in different kinds of spirals before, and this one was extremely dark and tumultuous in a whole different way. But all I can say is, you know, hold on to the tree, or like I always say from one of my favorite songs that got me through so many tough times is, tie yourself to the mast, my friend. This storm will end. And even if it doesn't end on a global level, it will end personally. There will at least be a lull that you can look around and you can assemble what's left, and then you can rebuild stronger, and you can, you know, maybe mourn, but ultimately accept what was washed away needed to be washed away and start over. Human beings are capable of that. And, you know, what is meant to stay with you, I truly believe will continue to stay with you. It will not forsake you, the things that are right for you, if you just freaking hang on and tie yourself to the mast. That's all you need to do. And I just remember saying over and over, like, I don't know how to be. I don't know who to be, how to be, who I am. I don't know what to do. And like a voice just said to me one night, just be. You don't have to be any certain way. Just sit in it and be. And then the rest will reveal itself. And you guys, it's just how it is, you know? It really just is how it is. All that is required of us ultimately is just to be. So if I can leave you with sort of one solid thought from all of this weird rambling, it's going to be tough to push publish on this one after all these months, and this is what I'm giving you. Dude, you can tell that the last little while has humbled me because I'm just putting this garbage out into the... No, it's not garbage. In there are some great truths. But if I can leave you with anything, it's that you don't have to be anything. You just have to be. You just have to be. It's enough. And when things just seem impossible and you're trying to manage too much and you're trying to figure it out and you're trying to make the right choice when all you are given is bad choices, go back to being a newborn baby and just freaking be. Just be your charming, precious, angry little red, shitting, crying self, and know that you are of infinite worth, just like any newborn baby you've ever seen. Go back and say, I am the same soul as I was when I was that precious, cherished newborn baby. And I'm going to treat myself with the same kindness and acceptance, no matter what I do, because I'm here and I'm just being. And because of that, I'm worthy and precious beyond expression. And, you know, I think if that's what we can take away from the last couple of years, and really embrace that as a society, we'd be so much better off. It's tough, though. It's tough. And that's really one of the messages. I just really want to sort of use this platform, if anybody's still listening, to just reinforce time and time again. You are enough just by virtue of being. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to have an identity. You do not have to have a purpose even to be of infinite value. And if you stop trying so hard, it usually reveals itself to you. It reveals itself to you once you accept that you are enough. That's when, you know, the magic can take hold. When you stop trying to, you know, drive that bus and just let, you know, the experts do it, or fly that plane and, you know, just let the pilot get into the seat and show you, you know, some beautiful sights. Just sort of get back into that co-pilot seat and take a break and just be. And things are gonna be okay, you know, if we just accept. I think the more that we accept and the more that we take each day as it is and accept the capacity that we have for that day and, you know, do what feels right. As Glennon Doyle says, you just do the next right thing. And then you do the next right thing after that, and you keep doing that all the way home. And often the next right thing is just lying and staring at a wall and just being. And that's fine. So if that's the message that I can send, and is, I think that I am really sort of showing by coming back after all these months with this very imperfect, inarticulate rambling, that it's enough. It's just enough. It's enough to share what you feel in your heart, even if it isn't articulate. For me, it's enough just to be able to say these things and hope that somebody out there who needs to hear them might hear it, and it might resonate something, some sort of acceptance and some sort of gentleness. That just it invokes the ability for you to be more gentle on yourself than you might be being right now. I know how painful it is to be hard on yourself. I just want to remind you that the world is very, very hard right now, and nobody, not one single person, will be served by you piling on being hard on yourself. Or frankly, anyone else, you know? And I think that's something that we all have to relearn maybe every moment of every day. Like, is it helpful to be hard on myself? Is it helpful to be hard on others? Are we making any of this easier when we do that? Probably not. It's one thing to have standards and hopes and expectations and goals, but kindness never fails, and it starts with you. So I will leave you all with that, my darlings. If you're having a hard time loving and accepting yourself, if you're having a hard time getting through the day, just get through the next moment. If you're having a hard time seeing yourself as worthy, please picture yourself as a precious, fresh, newborn baby with infinite possibilities and infinite worth, because that is what you are. This moment in time is very short. This lifetime is a blink and a drop in the ocean. You have infinite potential. And however you feel right now is not indicative of who you are and what the future is. A bad moment, a bad day, a bad holiday, a bad year, two bad years does not make a bad life. And it certainly never makes a bad person. I love you so much. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope to talk to you again soon. I love you. Be kind to yourselves. And to other people too. Bye-bye.